Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. Pleasure to have you with us today. It's been an interesting show so far. I want to let you know that you can listen to our over 750 interviewed guests. We have them all archived in 40 different topic file folders at exitcoachradio.com in our audio library. So you can listen anytime to interviews with authors, advisors, thought leaders on a wide variety of topics. And you can also go to ecrmobile.com in your smartphone browser and pull up our app and listen daily to our interviews. My next guest is Jeff Mose, and he's joining us from Maryland in the Frederick Financial Group. We're going to talk about a topic that has been controversial for a lot of people, but I think the tide is changing and a lot of people are very favorable about this topic. It's about annuities. And Jeff is, again, a partner of Frederick Financial Group. He's been featured on a wide variety of periodicals and stations. And boy, he's been on in the Wall Street Journal. He's been in the, I just saw it right here. He's been in a wide variety of, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, Senior Market Advisor, a wide variety of topics. Jeff, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Bill, thank you very much. It's nice to join you today.
Sorry, I'm on my eighth interview, and by then my eyes get a little fuzzy. I'm looking at your overview sheet. Very interesting what you've been doing. Tell us a little bit about Frederick Financial Group and how you got started and what you do for folks.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. The Frederick Financial Group is actually a collaborative of companies that do investment under management, portfolio management and advice. We also have an insurance group that does life insurance, disability, and annuity products. And we have a tax advisory company, and we're currently looking to expand. It won't be long until we're bringing in an estate attorney. So we will have just about every facet of financial planning in one location.
That's
my
great.
Bill, and you know this as a professional, when you can make things cohesive for a client, put those pieces of the puzzle together so that when you're doing a strategy, you don't have to say, well, let's call your tax accountant and see how this could positively or adversely affect you. No, we just ask our CPA and he can show it immediately.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got busy people, busy business owners and individuals, and they just don't have the time to calling people and going all over town. So when you can pull it all together, that's a great service for people to help them get their planning done. Because as I'm sure you found, the bugaboo is people have to complete their planning, not just start their planning.
Absolutely. And when you do not have, and here again to use that puzzle analogy, when a piece of the puzzle is missing, it's not a cohesive plan, as you well know.
So tell us about your role. I interrupted you there. You were going to tell us about your role in.
That's okay. My role is I have been in the annuity side of things for about 13 years now. I am the former vice president of education and development for the National Association for Fixed Annuities, which is NAFA, the industry's trade association. And I returned to personal practice about a year and a half ago in order to start this cohesive business strategy that we have with Frederick Financial Group. And a little bit of my background, because I'm just about to launch my radio program, August 22nd, the Retirement Income Doctor. And if you're in the Baltimore area, it's on 1450 AM WTHU. And we're going to focus on what I call the working title of a book that I'm working on is America's New Retirement, because this isn't going to be like your grandparents' or your parents' retirement. Defined contribution plans are going to radically change the way retirement is in America.
That's fascinating. We were just talking about that with my prior guests, a couple of them today, that we're in a phase of new normal and things are changing quite a bit. And again, part of this when the annuity world, especially, Jeff, is that it seems like many years back, all the financial writers were down on annuities, and there was a lot of bad press about annuities. And then something happened along the way. I think it was the financial crisis, and obviously people, the awareness of people living longer, and all of a sudden now the writings about annuities, maybe it was the improvement of some of the features in the annuities that the insurance companies were offering as well, but annuities all of a sudden now are much more in favor. What can you attribute that to?
Education. I think that there was a time period where people who didn't fully understand or were licensed, even more importantly, were not licensed in annuities, would say to a client, "Oh, Bill, you don't want one of those. You know, you're going to tie your money up for a long period of time." Even though the investment counselor will say, "Now remember, you're in this for the long haul if you're in a market-oriented position." So there were a lot of similarities, but they were not licensed, and so they didn't understand them. They just knew that they were, you know, and quite honestly, if you went to Chevy, you wouldn't ask them about the attributes of a Ford. So if you were talking to a market investment professional, they probably wouldn't be talking to you in a learned way about annuities, about an insurance product. And I think the reverse is true. As an insurance professional, you're really not permitted, unless you're licensed, you know, with a 7 or a 6 or a 65, you're really not permitted to talk in detail about investment products, market-oriented products. So I think that there was this disassociation, and need is a tremendous vehicle. When people's, and you read this, and I know you saw it, when a 401k became a 201k, all of a sudden people started going, "Wait a minute, where's my guaranteed paycheck? My dad got a pension. He knows he's getting $1,400 every month from this company, or my dad, or my mom, or my grandfather." But now with these hypothetical paychecks, and I know you're a young man, but if I ask you, if you were going to retire at 66 and you have a 401k right now, can you tell me exactly to within $5 what your monthly paycheck, your pension check's going to be? Absolutely not.
Of course not. Yeah.
And of course, you hope that your account isn't adversely affected by a negative market the day before you go to retire, because then you're going back to your company and saying, "I'm sorry, I can't retire because my 401k is a 201k, and I'm not going to be able to make enough off of this." And you know, there's some very learned people. Teresa Garoliducci of the New School has her program on PBS a year ago about the defined contribution plan being a failed retirement experiment. Is pretty true.
Yes, for the employers, it's been positive.
Oh, it's been very good,
right? But for the employees, especially, you know, up until a couple of years ago, we were calling it the lost decade in the S&P 500, and everything was built on these projections that showed doubling in periods of, you know, 7 to 10 years. Through, you know, historically, this is how it's always been. Well, that was great, but this is now. And like you said, a lot of people now are seeing situations where it hasn't grown, and they're wondering, can't I just get back to that pension plan, that check in the mailbox that I can rely on? Because that'll give me something to plan around. Is that so? Those are a couple factors that make a lot of sense that make people look at it a lot more. Now, I think a lot of people think about the old lifetime annuities, and they might be thinking about, well, isn't that where the insurance company takes my money, gives me a check, if I die, the money stops, game is over? And they're not thinking about what if I outlive, you know, and win on the other side of that curve. But things have changed a lot in annuities since that kind of black and white days of annuities, haven't they?
Absolutely. You would have to make, you the contract holder, you the annuity owner, would have to make the determination that that is how you wanted the annuity to pay out. That if I'm going to risk that I'm going to be better at this than the actuarials who run numbers every day for a living, and I'm going to say, okay, pay me more because I'm going to live longer. Now, I don't know if you're a gambler, and I'm not, but I know Vegas, and I don't gamble just because I know that they're playing with my money.
Right.
So why would I bet against an industry who has these tables? So now if you decide, if it's your decision as the annuity holder to say, okay, don't pay anything out to my beneficiaries. I want more money now. But I don't know, I don't have any clients. I've been in the business now and helping folks with annuity products now, heading into my 14th year this fall. I have not had one client after being educated who said, yeah, let me bet against the insurance company. So now when they do annuitize or take withdrawals or take or just let it sit and grow tax deferred, that money will go to their beneficiaries. So exactly, Bill, you're 100% correct. That is so old school that the insurance company will keep your money when you die. The only way they would do that is if you, the account holder, elected for them to do that. And who in their right mind would do that?
Well, and in fact, that's in some ways how Social Security is set up. If you're a single individual, or if you got that pension plan that was just on your life, it was probably set up that way. But again, a lot of people now are saying, I want a plan B. What if I die too soon? I want plan B. I want money to continue or to someone, or at least some kind of a refund or a payout of that. So it's
exactly.
So that we can take that argument away right from people right away, is that don't classify annuities and just says all cars are still the Model T.
Well, right. And you're a bass player, right?
Yeah, that's right.
If I talk about a bass, and I just say, oh, you play bass. Well, am I talking upright? Am I talking electric fretted? Am I talking acoustic? You know what I mean? So when we say annuities, let's be specific. There are different types of annuities, just like there's different types of cars, coupes, sedans, convertibles, SUVs. So with fixed annuities, which are a fixed rate of interest over a specific period of time, fixed indexed annuities, which, you know, give you an opportunity at a fixed rate or a mix of an interest credited against the potential movement of upward movement of the S&P 500 or the Dow or a number of different indices. There's single premium immediate annuities, which start paying you a paycheck right away. But then there's variable annuities, and they sit outside of that fixed family. Variable annuities are in the stock market, are a security product, and must be sold, you know, by somebody licensed in securities. For our conversation, I'm talking strictly fixed and fixed indexed annuities today. So there's a totally different game, because with these, you have guarantees. You have minimum maximum returns and minimum withdrawal returns. There's all kinds of different variables. But when people say, oh, yeah, I had an annuity and it went down when the market went down, that potential is with a variable. The market goes down in a fixed indexed annuity, your money does not go down. And that's a very, you know, that's a very important part of a well-planned, balanced portfolio. And that's one of the key features of an annuity. The market in a fixed index annuity, the market can go down, but your money doesn't go down. So that way, when the market starts to go up, your money doesn't have to recover its losses. It immediately goes with it. But here's one thing that I think that a lot of people fail to realize in the future of planning for retirement. I'm going to wave my magic wand here, Bill, and I'm going to make you 40 years old. And
you
are going to be, you are now, I'm about to offer you your dream job. This is the job that you wanted from the time you were a kid. You went to college and got a degree in it. Your work experience is leading you to this job. And I tell you that we're going to relocate you, bring you and your family in, take good care of you, and I'm going to start you at a salary of $75,000 a year. And you're going to be a vice president. But, by the way, I can never give you a pay raise. Well, now you start thinking, wait a minute. Ronald Reagan said 3% inflation over 25 years reduces my purchasing power by 50%. So essentially, in 25 years, when you're 65 and you go to retire, your pay will be half of $75,000, correct?
Correct.
I mean, the value
power
of that dollar, the buying power, exactly. So more than likely, realistically, knowing that you have maybe two children in college to plan for, your retirement, et cetera, you're probably not going to take that job, even though it was your dream job. So now let's flip forward 25 years, and you're 65, and you're getting ready to retire. And now you're going to be the boss. You're going to be the boss of Bill Black Retirement, because your life still goes on. You have bills to pay, things to manage. And people joke about, I joke with folks about, I go, you're now the CEO, and everybody has to report to you. And they go, I'm married. I go, okay, not everybody's reporting to you.
Okay.
But you have decisions to make. And one of those decisions is when you're doing your retirement planning, you look down and you go, well, I don't have a pension, and this is my 401k, I've got some IRAs, and yeah, we look pretty good. So then I say, well, Bill, when you're 75, and just through natural inflation periods, you know that income that you're getting now isn't going to really keep up with inflation. What's your strategy to get yourself a pay raise? And you go, because remember, in your dream job, if you weren't going to get a pay raise, you weren't going to take that. So how are you going to take your second dream job of retirement? And it is a job. I'll prove another reason it's a job. Every April 15th, what type of taxes do you pay even when you're retired? Income taxes.
Income taxes. Mm-hmm.
Right? So right. The government thinks you're still working.
Yeah.
Or they wouldn't be called income taxes.
Right.
So the strategy is, and we use this really efficiently and effectively for our clients through annuities, is that we've had annuities set up and laddered at different stages that if they need the money, if they need a pay raise as they turn 75, 80, 85, because longevity planning is important, we have to plan to live to be in our 90s. Because who's, you know, even Walmart doesn't have greeters anymore. So what are you going to do when you're 85 years of age if you need additional income? And we use annuities and laddering them so that you can give yourself periodic pay raises, or you can reach in and grab some money out of it if you want to gift it to the children or help pay for books of a grandchild at college or take a trip or something. And that's the difference. How are you going to give yourself a pay raise periodically during your retirement years? Because if you live an additional 25 years, you'll be 90. And we go back to Reagan's famous 3% inflation over 25 years.
Okay.
So that's there's another advantage of using a guaranteed, not a hypothetical, a guaranteed source of income that you can say that at 75, it'll be worth this in a payout, 76, 77, et cetera. And if you don't use it, it goes to your beneficiary.
Well, I can't think of anything that would be wrong with any of that. I think do a lot of people object that maybe I can do better with my money, or I can do more with my money? What are some of the objections that you hear still from people?
Well, the number one objection is usually, you know, I could do more in the market. And you can. Oh my gosh, I'm a fan of the market. The market's been very, very kind to me and my family. But I'm also practical that as I get older, it's not about how much I have or how much more I can make. It's about how much I can keep and use. So there's a mix there. And I've always been a believer that when somebody says, what's in your portfolio? And here's a question you can ask folks. What's in your portfolio? And they'll go, well, I have some stocks, mostly mutual funds and a few bonds. And I'll go, and? And they'll say, what else do you mean? And I'll go, well, what about your real estate? What about insurance, life insurance, annuities, your bank accounts, antiques or investment collectibles? And they'll go, well, that's not part of my portfolio. And I go, well, it sounds like Wall Street taught you that your portfolio is all your stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Well, if that's what you believe is your total portfolio, then you must think the Old Testament is all there is to the Bible. Because your portfolio is everything you have. And a diverse portfolio will have a balance of risk and safe products. And remember, an insurance product, like an annuity, is a safe product. Can you make better money or return possibly in the market? Absolutely. But can you lose that money? Yes. Well, in an annuity, the value only goes down when you take money out. And that's the core of a balance. And when you're retired, for most folks, it's usually, I want to live comfortably. I'm not here to try to double my money or increase it by 40 or 50%. I want to live comfortably off of this and still have some money growing for me. And it's amazing when we work with our clients and we say, what percentage do you think you are? And they'll say, oh, I think I'm 50-50 because my investment banker says that I don't have really any risk. And then you look at their portfolio and it's like, well, this is low risk, but it's still risk. Mm-hmm. Big difference. Now, mm-hmm. as they start getting closer to retirement, and I'm not a fan of the 100 80% rule, or the 100 rule, as they used to call it. Mm-hmm. But they'll actually say, you know, I'd rather have, I think, 70% safe and 30% risk. Then they get older, and all of a sudden it becomes 80% safe, 20% risk, because they realize the importance of not outliving their money. It's not about trying to become a millionaire. If that's the case, buy a lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
great advice.
World. This is going to be the big difference. This is going to be a major shift. And I just today looked at a presentation from a marketing company, and they, you know, they've got all these pictures of people walking on the beach, the traditional, on the sailboat, riding their bikes on the boardwalk, you know, this type of thing. And I said, who are these people? These are not average Americans, you know, that this is not going to be their retirement. And when you see the numbers, I think the last number I read that the average 401k right now has about $110,000 in it for people 55 and older. Well, how are you going to live off of that in Social Security?
Well, maybe they're riding their bike and living on the boardwalk, but I agree with you.
I hope it's not under the boardwalk.
Not under the boardwalk.
Under the boardwalk.
Jeff, so, you've given us a lot to think about, some great advice, and really clarified some myths, I think, that people have about this asset class called annuities. And it's very helpful to hear different viewpoints and go with an open mind and listen to people like Jeff Mose. Jeff, how do our listeners get in touch with you best?
The best way is our website, which is frederickfinancialgroup.com. And our phone numbers and everything and my personal email is listed on there. And if you're in the Baltimore, Frederick, Maryland area, on Saturdays at 10 a.m., my program is the Retirement Income Doctor, and that's on 1450 a.m., The Source, WTHU.
And I wish you the best of luck with that show. You've got a great radio voice and a great personality. I'm sure people will be listening and learning a lot from you and your guests. So come back and join us anytime. Let us know how it's going, and let's go into some of these topics a little deeper, will you?
Well, Bill, maybe we can do the reciprocation, and you can be a guest on my show sometime.
I'd love that. That'd be fantastic. Again, thanks so much.
I appreciate that, too.
Oh, it's been great to talk with you. And again, I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners did. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, everybody. This is Spike Reel for The Exit Coach. Business owners, can you name the 8 key value drivers that you and your manager should be focusing on to increase the value of your business? Introducing the Sellability Score Index. Visit our website and answer 25 questions about your business, and you will instantly receive your sellability score, showing you how well you stack up in the 8 value driver areas. It's a great management tool. It's absolutely free for our listeners. Just visit exitcoachradio.com and click Get My Sellability Score.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.